Hello, this is XME for NotJustAGame.com with your Week 5 Fantasy Football and Handicapping Preview. We're just a day away from the NFL restarting again in Week 5, and this is the time of the season where, from a fantasy football standpoint, it's make or break, just like we have the same scenario going on with a lot of 1-3 and 0-4 NFL teams. It's tough to be in a hole, and if you are in one, you've got to consider trades right now. Obviously, waiver wire acquisitions have not done your team due justice, so you have to consider any type of move to bolster your team. And really, the only way to do that would be to pull off a significant trade, poach some players in your leagues that you think you can give up, and just you've got enough of a sample size now with four games to know where your weaknesses are depth wise. So hopefully, you've got some bench players that have outproduced their position that can make up for the lack of depth at other positions that your starters are lacking points. Tight ends, hopefully one of you guys got Jimmy Graham or Cleveland Browns tight end who's just been outstanding. Both of them are just jump ball tight ends right now, getting out there, grabbing the ball and scoring fantasy points each and every week. It's just amazing what those two are doing, but it just depends. There's some quarterbacks out there that have struggled, and definitely running backs. This hasn't been the year for running backs so far. CJ Spiller and others are just struggling. So decide what you need to do and make that decision. You can't get, if you get more than three or four games back, you can kiss your league goodbye. So make those moves, make some sound decisions, and pull the trigger. There's no reason now to wait and see how these guys do on your team. You need to pull the trigger and go from there. Well, let's talk about tomorrow's game, Thursday game. We've got the Cleveland Browns and Buffalo Bills, two teams that kind of are mediocre out there. And Cleveland has a slight edge, -4 at home, with Brian Hoyer getting another start. I think this week we'll see a little bit of difference from the Cleveland Browns offense. Buffalo Bills have struggled on the road, and I think this will be the week that we see the Browns take a different approach. In the first 2 weeks, we've seen them kind of use Hoyer's skills to hit Jordan Cameron and his receiver, Josh Gordon, which has led to some good fantasy weeks. But this week, I think they'll use their running back, Chris Rainey and Willis McGahee, to establish more of a presence because they'll be able to run on the Buffalo Bills defense, and that'll kind of eliminate the possibility of Brian Hoyer making some early mistakes, which they do not want to have. Defensively, Cleveland knows what they have with their defense, and they're going to be able to shut down EJ Manuel in the passing attack. Question is, can they play a full four quarters with shutting down CJ Spiller and Fred Jackson, who are still an underrated tandem back there for Buffalo? Neither of them has broken out just yet, but they're kind of having a dual share right now that's kind of constricting their abilities. So sooner or later, you'd have to suspect that one of them would break out. But I don't think it'll be this week. Both are kind of nicked up and coming off the short week. It's going to be a tough week for the Bills offense to get anything going early in that one. So kind of like the Browns in that for a free pick at -4. They should be able to get some turnovers, and that should lead to some short fields. And hopefully they can punch in for 7 instead of field goals. But the turnover battles on Thursday night footballs is crucial in getting that line value. And I think Cleveland should win that by 2-3 turnover ratio there. Some fourth quarter killers to look for this week. Maurice Jones-Drew, I like his matchup against the St. Louis Rams. Hasn't been very good matchups for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year offensively, but St. Louis have been getting torn apart. DeMarco Murray ran all over them. Frank Gore ran all over them. Cardinals even had success against running against them week one. So St. Louis is just a team that defensively they're definitely underperforming. And this should be a week that the Jacksonville can actually call some plays offensively with success, even with Blaine Gabbert back there. All around, I think, plus 11, Jacksonville's getting a lot of value right now for a team that really is not that far off from where they've been. I mean, if you think about it, teams that have lost this year and the margins that they've been losing by, the St. Louis Rams are right there neck and neck with how Jacksonville's played. So But MJD is definitely a good value this week for fourth quarter value, and inserting him in your flex spot or starting spot in your fantasy football leagues. Continue to ride the hot streak of the Chicago Bears and Jay Cutler this week. The Saints, you know, it's going to be a shooting battle, run and shoot type of battle. And Jay Cutler's not going to back down. That's one thing he doesn't do. He'll have all the turnovers in the world, but he's going to continue to sling that football. And his team believes that they can come back even from a deficit, as from what they've done, and come back wins this year. And I just don't think the Bears' defense has the capability of shutting down Jimmy Graham and the Saints' offense. So you look for a high-scoring game there, and for if the Bears get behind, which they probably will, to be able to get some fourth-quarter points from those tandem there. And defenses aren't talked about a lot when it comes to value in the fourth quarter, but the Tennessee Titans defense this week has a very good matchup against Kansas City, who I still think is an overrated team at 4-0. All they've done so far is run a very simplistic offense and rely on their defense, and sooner or later it's going to crack. And I think this week against the Titans and Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's going to be a battle for the first quarter or two, but I think Tennessee can make the plays offensively to offset and definitely at home to offset this battle here. Alex Smith, he kind of struggled for the first half against the Giants, and then the punt return by McCluster kind of got things rolling for them, which made the game more of a blowout than it actually was. But Tennessee's going to be able to jump those routes. We saw what their safety was able to do this past week, and they're going to be all over those quick short slants and quick short routes. Greg Williams won't allow Alex Smith to dink and dump the entire game with success. So look for the Titans defense to be one of the top fantasy producers this weekend. I'll give out a couple of free plays here in the NFL. I just mentioned one in the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a guy, he's a journeyman, and he's just a guy that is able to go to different teams and have success. He did it as a rookie in St. Louis. He had some success in Cincinnati, then Buffalo, and now he's here in Tennessee. He accepted the role, had that huge contract from the Bills, but he accepted the role to come in and be a viable backup to Jake Locker, and this was the type of opportunity he was waiting for. And he'll be able to step in there, and I think he knows, based on his mistakes last year with Buffalo, that he just needs to make the right plays and calm it down. When the plays aren't there, he doesn't need to force the football. But he was always sporadic as a Buffalo Bill, just because there was too much of a burden on him to throw the football every down. They were down a lot. But now that they have a defense such as his with Tennessee, he should be able to calm things down and not have to force throws as much. So I think Tennessee has very, very good value. Doesn't lose much with going to Ryan Fitzpatrick instead of Jake Locker. And all Fitzpatrick has to do really is just manage the game better than he did the last year in Buffalo, which is a lot in itself, but I think he'll be able to do it in these first couple of games with Tennessee substituting for Jake Locker. So Tennessee Titans, very, very good value. And then road favorites are always hard to take, but this week I do like Carolina coming off the bye week. Going up against the Arizona Cardinals, a team that's 2-2, but they really haven't thrilled me in their two wins, especially last week against Tampa Bay. They were down 10-0, and were getting absolutely no production from the offense before an interception with 3.5 minutes to go gave them great field position, and they took advantage of that opportunity, and then got a winning field goal to win that game. But Carson Palmer in that offense is looking very, very, very poor lately, and I don't give him any chance going up against a strong defense, even at home, which Arizona is one of the better home teams in football. I think that just is going to bold problems for the Cardinals at home this week, going against Carolina team that's rested, coming off bye week, has regained their confidence a little bit. And don't forget, Cam Newton came into this league. He came into this league with his first game against Arizona. So this is going to be a big matchup. And I do like the slight edge, and I love the odds with Carolina just at a 1.5 favorite. You're looking at a team that could very well easily be 3-0 if they didn't let a lead slip at Buffalo, and then their home game week 1 against Seattle, which they just didn't have enough offense and kind of felt back right at the end when D'Angelo Williams fumbled that football. But if this team was 3-0, they'd be easily a 5 to 7 point favorite. But they're 1-2 going against a team that's 2-2, but is far more mediocre than a record show. So those are a couple of free plays there. In college football, I'll give you one as well. I love Louisville going against Temple. That's a large point spread, but sometimes those large point spreads are there for the taking, and this is one of them. Last year, for those of you that watched Big East football last year, you remember that the Temple actually had a slight lead against Louisville. That was kind of a wake-up call for them when it was 17-14, and they just reawoke. Reawoke, and Charlie Strong just got on to them, and they were able to respond and didn't let Temple score another point. And I think the final score was 45-17. So those are the type of things when you've got a lot of people coming back, a lot of teammates coming back, as Louisville does. They remember those type of games, and they're not going to want to get off to a poor start. So I think this will be one of those first quarters where you just see them coming out focused, coming up by a week, and they just jump on Temple. They're probably going to score in their first 3 to 4 possessions, 28-0. You can see the score being at the end of the first quarter, and then from there, when you get a team on the ropes like that, such as Temple, that's really has a new coach and doesn't have as much talent to speak of as they did last year, that's where the hope just gets drained. So if they get on them early, 28-0 first quarter, you can expect the onslaught to get worse and get worse quickly. So I know the line's at 34 right now, but get on that game as a easy free play in my mind. Remember, all my picks, premium plays will be up for sale at kellyinvegas.com, as well as notjustagame.com. Coming off another successful college football weekend, another weekend where we had a plus payout, and then in the NFL, I had my best week yet on the year, going 4-1. The only loss was with Miami on Monday night, which, you know what, I really did like the Dolphins in that one, but they... There's too many turnovers at New Orleans. Who knows if they would have... A couple scenarios went bad for them in the first half, and then life got sucked out of them when the interception happened right before the first half. But can't have the Saints having all those third and long conversions, and then the Dolphins, I think it was two or three times where they had third and inches, couldn't get it, and then there's some poor play calling that kind of just took the game for a loop. Sucked the energy out of the defense, and then the offense was just getting blitzed too much because the Saints realized that the Dolphins were either going to run the read option or quick slant to Brian Hartline, which may work in college, but they needed to have some more better play selection after the Saints were able to diagnose it. But I'll take the hit on that one. But it was a 4-1 week, and I think we're going to have another good weekend here. So look at my plays. If you're interested in the football or college pass, send me an email, notjustagame23@gmail.com. I'll give you those passes for $99. And then if you're looking for individual play, obviously you can purchase those on either kellyinvegas.com or notjustagame.com. That's all I have today. Feel free to send me an email. Like I said, notjustagame23@gmail.com or on Twitter. Send me a direct message or tweet at Simony. Have a good one.